Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we had focused on Shitas Rebbe Elazar. He had mentioned that in being Mekadesh Dam, in sanctifying the blood of a sacrifice, it is not Kodosh L'chatzoyin. The Gemara at the bottom of Zayin Omid Beis had raised the question, does Rebbe Elazar really say that the dam is not kodesh lechatzoyin? Well, Rebbe Elazar seems to say that regarding the chavite kohen gadol, it is sanctified lechatzoyin. To that, the Gemara raised as the problem that if he holds that dam is not kodesh lechatzoyin, so the chavite kohen gadol would also not be kodesh lechatzoyin. The Gemara eventually answered, and this was the point at which we concluded our previous shiur, that inyanim of mincha, he compares one inyan, one topic of mincha, to another topic of mincha. That was, for example, the case of the taking of a handful of a kmitza, the kmitza is the handful of the meal offering in the sanctuary, in the heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, that such a thing can be done, as we see, that there was siluk bozichin, the removal of the lavona containers of the lechem aponim that was equal to kmitza, as we discussed in our previous shiur, that also takes place in the heichal. So, in the final analysis, the fact that Rebbe Elazar holds that the Minchas Chavitin, or the Chavite Kohen Gadol, is Kodesh L'Chatzoyin, does not have to be affected by the fact that he holds that the Dam of a Korban is not Kodesh L'Chatzoyin. Because, as we said last time, Dinim of Mincha, he does not derive from Dinim of Dam. However, one aspect of Mincha from another aspect of Mincha, he will derive. So up to this point, we basically just recapped our previous discussion. At this point, we pick up the Gemara from on Ches Amud Aleph, 4 lines from the top, asking the following. More accurately, 5 lines from the top. U Mincha, mi Mincha, mi Aleph. In our markings, we have a house form, and we have an explanation on the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. What you see there is a house form with the word Ma'akav in parentheses. The Ma'akav is an indication of our attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion in the Gemara. With the point facing upwards, this represents Kushyos. In this particular sukkah, the house with the point facing up represents questions. HaGemara Maksha Al-Ho Dika Omar. The Gemara will be asking on that which was said, Rebbe Elazar Mincha mi Mincha Yolif, that he learns one aspect of Mincha from another aspect of Mincha. We said that with regard to the ability of taking the kmitza of a standard Mincha in the Heichal, which was learned from the removal of the bazichin of the Lechem Aponim, which is also in the topic of Menachas. However, v'ho royim she'eino lomeid lechem haponim midine mincha, but momentarily the Gemara will raise a question and claim that we see that he does not learn halachas of lechem haponim from halachas of mincha. With the house form flipping over, point down, those represent answers. So as you scan ahead in the Gemara in the next section, we open up with a long question. This you can see, as is illustrated by the kuf that has a little house marking around it, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the following lines of Gemara constitute the question. So the Gemara asks, You just last time you got finished telling us that he learns one aspect of Mincha from another aspect of Mincha. Mincha mi Yolif. Does Rebbe Elazar in fact learn one din of Mincha from another din of Mincha? The Hotanya, we have the following Tanaic source. The topic of this source has to do with the Lechem Haponim. The Lechem Haponim, as we've mentioned on previous occasions, is in the category of Menachos. It is the 12 loaves that sat in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash from Shabbos to Shabbos, from week to week. And it says as follows, Ad Shaloi Parka, if prior to the removal of the loaves from the tabletop to be taken out into the Azor and distributed to the Kohanim, so if prior to Parka, to the removal of the loaves, Nifras Lachmo, one of the loaves broke, split, Halechem posel, the ein maktir olov es bozichen. The lechem is rendered unfit, and the bozichen, the containers, the vessels containing the lavona, are not to be offered on the altar. However, mishe parko, nifras lachmo, if after the stacks of bread were taken off the shulchan and taken to the azorah for the purpose of distribution, so if it was removed from the table, that's Misha Parka, and at that point, Nifras Lachmo, one of the loaves, split. Halechem Posel, the lechem still is unfit. Umaktir Olov es Abozichen. However, there will be Haktoras Abozichen. The Lavona will be offered on the Mizbeach in the Azora. The Omer Rebbe Lozer redefines the source we just read. Lo Parka Mamish. When it speaks about the removal, we're not talking about actual removal of the breads. Elo kevan shigia zmano lifrok, af al pi shalo parka, kemi sheparka damya. Rebbe Lozer says that as long as the appropriate time for the removal of the breads has arrived, that is the boundary. In other words, if after the time for the removal, the time being midday, if midday passed, even though the breads may physically still be on the table, nevertheless, if at that time, if sheisho, 6 hours of the day, which is midday, passed, and one of the loaves split, nevertheless, one still could offer the bozichen, the lavona and the bozichen. The amai. So the question is, why is it that you can be maktir the bozichen? Teheve kamincha shechosra koydem kamitza. If one has a bowl containing a meal offering, and some of the quantity, the necessary quantity, a standard mincha is an isoron. So if the isoron quantity became diminished, you are not able to take the kamitza. That's called a mincha shechosra koydem kamitza. The mincha is posel. Why don't we say the same thing with regard to the bread that is on the table and midday passed, but the bread hasn't been removed yet? So is that not like the fact that the bread breaks or splits after 6 hours of the day? That should be parallel to the case of the mincha shechosra. The splitting of the bread is like the diminishing of a standard mincha. Kodim Kemitza, before the Kemitza, and in this case it's before the Bozichen were actually removed. The Bozichen being the parallel to the Kemitza, as we mentioned in our previous shiur. So why is it that we don't say that the breaking of the bread after 6 hours, the bread that has not been actually removed from the Shulchan yet, why is that not called a Mincha Shechosra Kodim Kemitza? The Gemara responds, Ho Lo kashya. In general, Rebbe Lozer will learn one halacha of menachos from another halacha of menachos. In other words, we will compare different aspects of menachos. Well, if you'll ask, then why are we not comparing the lechem haponim, where we say you are allowed to offer the bozichen, to the case of a mincha shechosra kodik mitzvah, where we say that it becomes posel? This is not a problem. You can see the house form flipped over. There's a very prominent difference. And based on this difference, we have this difference in halacha. So the Gemara is saying that in general, he will learn one aspect of menachos from another aspect. However, in this case, mincha, a standard mincha, lo borir klimetz didei. In a standard mincha, it's not clear where the kemitza is until it's actually taken. However, v'ha, in the case of the bozichin, borir kemetz dida. It's clear where the kometz is. It's in the kometz of the lechem aponim is the levona contained in those bozichin vessels. The cave on shigiyas mano lifroi kemanda porko dami. Kemanda porko damya. And since the time for removal has come, we say it's as if it has been removed. The Gemara asks, Elo me'ato, teheve kishirayim shechosru bein kemitza lahaktara. De'ein maktirin koimetz alehen. Why not still view this as problematic? Let us view it as a case of a mincha whose kmitza was separated. You're saying right now that as six hours comes, as the midday passes, so the koimetz becomes obvious. So it's considered as if the koimetz was removed. Fine. But nevertheless, the bread split. So why don't we parallel this to a case of mincha, whose kemitza was removed, but prior to its being offered on the Mizbeach, the remainder, the shirayim, became diminished. The ein maktirin kometz alayin. And in such a case, by a standard mincha, we say we don't offer the kometz, and yet over here we are saying we do offer up the contents of the bozichin. To this the Gemara responds, the lav plukta ninu. Is the aforementioned case of mincha of shirayim shechosru bein kemitza laktora, isn't it true that that's really a controversial point? Rebbe Lozer savar lo kemanda omar. Rebbe Lozer, who is the focus of our discussion, he holds like the opinion that holds that says shirayim shechosru bein kemitza laktora, where the remnant of mincha becomes diminished after the handful was removed prior to the burning of it, of the handful, maktir kometz alehen. You are able to offer the kometz. The fact that the shirayim became diminished is of no consequence in that case. Likewise, in the case of the lechem aponim, where the sixth hour of the day passed, so we say that's considered as if the elements have been separated, so that the kemitza is considered having been removed. The fact that the bread splits, that is of no consequence, and therefore he continues to offer the bozichin. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that that which follows is a new idea. But up to this point, we might just say a general word of review. For the last omud of Gemara, we have been noticing Shita's Rebbe Lozer, and for a large part of it, we were discussing his Shita. He had mentioned that Dam is not Kodosh L'Chatzoyin, but Minchas Chavitin is Kodosh L'Chatzoyin. We raised the problems of, does Rebbe Lozer learn one topic from another? Does he derive Halachas of Mincha from Halachas of Dam? To that, the Gemara said no. But within the realm of Menachas, he does derive one case from another. Gufa. Here we have a quote from something that we saw on Zion Amud Beis, and we can use our star, the star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with an indication to look at Zion Amud Beis, and you'll see a parallel star on Zion Amud Beis at the bottom, you'll notice, to the left-hand side of the Gemara text with an indication of Ches Amud Aleph. So we are expected to just note that this quote is coming from there. Gufo, chavitei kohen gadol, the daily meal offering that a kohen gadol brings. Before we go any further, let's just glance at the outside margin to take advantage of our topic heading, the nosei, chavitei kohen gadol, deboa me'isaron. It comes from a quantity of a meal material that is an isaron. Umakrivin chatzi baboiker v'chatzi boerev. Half is offered in the morning and half is offered in the afternoon. Ha'im hu kadosh l'chatzoyin. Does it become sanctified if sanctified in halves? So we are going to now introduce the machlokis that we saw on Zion Amud Beis once again. This is now a quote, and we'll focus on these shitas. So gufo chavite kohen gadol, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, eino kadosh lechatzoyin. It does not become sanctified if you take the isaron and put it into a kli shoreis in halves, half an isaron, and then a second half isaron in another kli shoreis. Rabbi Lozer Omar, mitoch shekarov kervo lechatzoyin. Since it's offered in halves, as we mentioned in our introduction, the minchas chavitin of the kohen gadol was offered on a daily basis, half of it in the morning and half in the afternoon, and since it's offered in halves, kedosha lechatzoyin, its initial sanctification also can take place in halves. Omar Rav Acha, my time of the Rabbi Yochanan. Why is it kedosha lechatzoyin? What's his basis? Omar Kro. So he quotes a posuk. This is a posuk in Vayikra Vav posuk Yid Gimel. It says by the minchas chavitin, mincha machtzisa. And we have the pasuk written on the side of the Gemara. You can see in the margin the reference to Vayikra Vav pasuk Yimel. Let's read the pasuk in its entirety. Zeh korban Aaron uvanav asher yakrivu l'Hashem b'yoyim hi moshach oisoy asir so'efa soyles mincha tamid machtzisa b'boiker machtzisa b'erev. So we see in the pasuk a reference to the mincha and machtzisa. So we learn from this, hevi mincha, v'achakach chotzehu. It says, bring the mincha and then split it. So from here, Rabbi Yochanan derives that the minchas chavitin can be split and sanctified in half quantities. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section that appears here. The role of these brackets is for skipping. And what we will gain by skipping initially the bracketed section, we will be able to connect the Gemara's kasha that appears right after the brackets on the point that Rabbi Yochanan just made. We must correct a serious error that we just made. Before going any further, let's just review. The shita of Rabbi Yochanan was that the chavite kohen gadol are not kodosh lechatzoyin. The Gemara had asked, Rav Acha said, my time with Rabbi Yochanan, he was asking, what is the reason for Rabbi Yochanan that it's not kodosh lechatzoyin? And he quoted the pasuk of mincha machtzisa. And from that we should derive the mincha, it should be complete, and then after it's complete, then it can be split. So we are to derive from this source, like Rabbi Yochanan says, that it must be brought and sanctified complete, and then split. We mentioned that we have the bracketed section. After the brackets, the Gemara raises a question on this point. Is it so that Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's not kodosh lechatzoyin? So what we gain with the brackets is the ability of connecting the question that appears after the brackets to that which Rabbi Yochanan said just now before the brackets. Within the brackets, the Gemara will be focusing on Shitas Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer had said that since it's offered in halves, it's also sanctified in halves. You'll notice triangles that appear with colored in tips. These represent a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion. With the tip facing up, these will be kushios, questions, and the tip facing down, it represents answers. So now that we know the structure of the sugya, let us learn through the Gemara straight. Meisvei. Let's just recognize that this meisvei that is at the beginning of the bracketed section is a question on Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer had said that since the chavite kohen gadol are offered in halves, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, so too its initial sanctification can be in halves. Meisvei chavite kohen gadol lo hoyu bois chatzoyin. The chavite kohen gadol did not come in halves. Elomevi isaron sholem v'chotzehu. Now, right there, we've dashed underlined what appears to be the main point of this brisa, and hence a kasha on Rebbe Lozer. This brisa is telling us he must bring a complete mincha and then split it. Not like Rebbe Lozer suggested, that it can be brought and sanctified in halves. V'tanya, and a comment on this says, Ilu ne'amar mincho machtzis, had the pasuk said that, hayisi oimer, then that would have told me grammatically the following. Mevi chatzi isor mi beiso shachris umakriv. He brings a half an isoron from his house of the meal offering in the morning and offers it. And then he brings chatzi isoron mi beiso arvis umakriv. And in the afternoon he brings a second chatzi isoron. But it doesn't say mincho machtzis. Talmud loimar machtziso baboker. The word machtziso means half of it. What's the it? It's the sholem. Mechtzo mi sholem hu mevi. He brings half of that which is whole. In other words, from this we see that the mincha is not sanctified in halves. That's a kasha on Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer would answer, le mitzvah. This is the best way to do it. It's the right way to do it. But if he sanctifies it in halves, it's okay. Question. Omer le rav gvio mi beik siul le rav ashi. In Pasuk Tezvov, the word chok appears. And the word chok in many different sections of the Torah indicates that something is binding. In other words, it's not just a nice way, the right way to do it, but it's binding. If you don't do it this way, you won't fulfill the mitzvah. Omar lei. So Rav Ashi says back, loy nitzrucha. The chukah idea, this idea of the mincha being complete, that's Elo Lahavia Sholem Bibeso. That in the morning, when he brings the material that will form the Minchas Chavitin, he brings the entire Isaron from his house. There, at that point, it's before sanctification. He's bringing it from his house. He brings the complete amount in the morning. But as far as the stage at which it's being sanctified in a Beis HaMikdash service vessel, klishores, that can be done in halves. We close the brackets here, putting now off to the side Rebbe Lozer and turning back to our discussion around Rabbi Yochanan. Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say that Einoi Kodosh Lechatzoyin? Veho Itmar. We have a discussion now concerning someone who had to bring a mincha, an isoron. An isoron is a quantity of meal offering. And it says, Hifrish chatzi isoro. Person set aside a half isoron, vidaitoi lahoisif. And he intends to add, to complete the isoron. Rav Omar Eino Kodosh. Rav says that it cannot become sanctified that way. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kodosh. And we've dashed underlined critical points here in order to create the question. We see from here that a situation, a scenario, where chatzi isaron, half the quantity, does become sanctified under Rabbi Yochanan's name. Ve'im isah, if it's so, that regarding the chavite kohen gadol, that it's not sanctified in halves, leilif mechavitin. Why not learn this din of mincha, the din of the person who has to bring his personal mincha, from the din of the chavite kohen gadol? And which there, Rabbi Yochanan said, it's not sanctified, lechatzoyin. V'chitema, you might say, Rabbi Yochanan milso mi milso lo yolif, that Rabbi Yochanan does not learn one topic from another. Ve'omer Rabbi Yochanan, we find that Rabbi Yochanan does learn one topic from another in a different case. Shlomim sheshochton behechal ksherim. Shlomim, shlomim sacrifice, an animal that's slaughtered in the hechal, in the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash. Ksherim, it's appropriate, it's okay, it's kosher, dichtiv. The pasuk says, v'shochato pesach oil moed. This pasuk by the Shlomim says that it's to be slaughtered in the Azorah. So, and what we see here is that we have a pasuk that says the Shlomim is sanctified in the Azorah. The Shlomim is slaughtered in the Azorah. Rabbi Yochanan said that the Shlomim that's sanctified, that's slaughtered in the Heichal is okay. How do you compare one to the other? Well, he says that since the pasuk says that the Shlomim is sanctified, slaughtered in the azara, shelo yehi tofel chomer miyaker. We wouldn't want to have a situation where the subsidiary, where the lesser, is any more stringent than the primary. In other words, in this case, the tofel is the azara, having a lower level of sanctity to the heichal. And if you say that the lower level area is suitable for shchitas shlamim, then certainly the heichal will be suitable for shchitas shlamim. So what we see is that he learns one topic from the other. He learns heichal from azara. So just like he learns heichal from azara, why does he not, when it comes to the mincha, that a person brought half Rabbi Yochanan said he brought half of the Isar and it was Kadosh. Where Rabbi Yochanan beforehand said by the Chavitei Kohen Gadol that it's not Kadosh L'chatzoin. Well, why not learn the din of the bringing of the Mincha from the din that he says by Chavitei Kohen Gadol? The Gemara answers, Daito Lehoisif Shaini. We have a little asterisk to the right hand side of the Gemara text. If you compare it to the previous asterisk, the star, you can see that on that line it was mentioned that the discussion that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan had concerned the case of a person who brought half the Isaron with the intention of adding. So where someone has the intention of completing, it's not as bad, so to speak. It's not as weak as a situation if someone just brings a half without any specific intention of adding to it. So where a person brings a half Isaron with the intention of adding to it to complete the quantity, that, Rabbi Yochanan says, even the half does become sanctified. That's different than the case of the Chavitei Kohen Gadol that was discussed before, where Rabbi Yochanan said it does not become sanctified in halves. Disanya, and here we have a Tanaic source that will mention the idea of Daito Lahoisif, intent to add. Disanya. The pasuk says shneim maleim k'tiras, ein maleim ela shleimim. The word maleim indicates complete quantity. The Omar Rabbi Yosi emosai bizman she'ein daitoi lahoisif. When is it such that we require it to be complete in order for it to be sanctified? That's if he does not have intention to add. Avo bizman she'daitoi lahoisif, if he puts a certain quantity in the vessel with the intention of adding more to complete the quantity, rishon kadosh. Every initial amount that's put in, even though those are not complete amounts, they become sanctified as you go along. We have a little period here that is designed to say we're now going to change our focus onto another shita. We're going to turn to Rav now. So up till this point, we were focused on Rabbi Yochanan, and we wanted to know how consistent is Rabbi Yochanan's shita with regard to sanctification in parts. And we raised the question, does Rabbi Yochanan learn one topic from another in general? And we said that in general, Rabbi Yochanan would learn one topic from another. And then the question was, why is it that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion with regard to the Hifrish Chatzi Saron is different than his opinion with regard to the Chavitei Kohen Gadol? So we explained that in general, Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Kedusha L'Chatzoyin. However, where it's Daita L'Hoisef, that's different. The Rav, the Chavitin Keman Sviro Lei. In the discussion concerning the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, we saw Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. We don't know what Rav's opinion is at this point regarding Kedushas Chavitei Kohen Gadol when it's Kadosh L'Chatzoyin. So the Gemara is asking, what does Rav hold with regard to that issue? Now, Rav, we have seen in the case of someone who was Mafrish a Chatzi Isaron for a standard Mincha, and there was Daito L'Hoisef, and Rav had said it does not become sanctified. The Gemara, and we have this illustrated as a long question. You see the shin that's encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. The Gemara asks, "V'Rav bechavitin keman svirolei." Rav, who said that even where you have daito lahoisif, the mincha does not become kadosh. What does he hold with regard to the chavitin? If he holds like Shitas Rabbi Elazar by the Chavitin that said it's Kadosh Lechatzoyin, Leilif Mechavitin. Why does Rav not learn other Menachas from Chavitin and let it, yes, become sanctified in parts? The Chitema Rav Milsa Mi Milsa Lo Yolif. You might say that Rav does not learn one topic from another. That is not true. The Oma Rav Mincha Kadosha, a Mincha can become sanctified. Before we go on, we might say a word of introduction. Your standard mincha has shemen and lavona. There's the grain part of the mincha. There is oil, and there is an incense called lavona. These three elements comprise a mincha. Let's say one is bringing a mincha, and he's placing the material in a kli shoreis for sanctification. Is it necessary to have all of the elements, all three elements together, in order for sanctification to take place? So we will now see that Rav says you don't need to have all the elements present in order for sanctification to take place, because there is precedent for other kinds of mincha that don't have shemen or lavona accompanying them. What are we seeing? We're seeing that Rav does compare topic to topic. So that will then raise the question of, if Rav were to hold like Rabbi Elazar, for example, by the Minchas Chavitin, so why doesn't he learn other menachas from the Minchas Chavitin and say that there is sanctification in partial amounts? So now the Gemara spells out the source on which we see that Rav holds we do learn one topic from another. And we pick up where Rav's name is circled. Voma Rav, Mincha Kedosha, Beloi Shemen. A Mincha that has Shemen that accompanies it can become sanctified even without the Shemen present in the vessel at the time you bring the grain part of the Mincha offering. Shekein Motzinu Belechem Aponim. Because thusly we see in the case of the Lechem Aponim is a type of mincha that does not have any oil to begin with. So we see sanctification of menachos without the oil. We've dashed underlined the expression Shekein Motzinu because that's the main point for this discussion, the idea of learning one thing from the other. Here we are learning a standard mincha from Lechem Aponim with regard to sanctification without the presence of oil. And more examples of this. Beloi Lavona, a mincha, though Lavona will accompany it, the mincha can become sanctified without the Lavona in the vessel at the same time. Shekein Motzinu b'minchas nesochim, because that's what we find with regard to minchas nesochim. Minchas nesochim is the mincha that comes with many animal offerings. And that type of mincha has the flour and oil, but it does not have Lavona. So we're saying that we find minochas being sanctified without lavonah, like in the case of minchas nesochim. And also, below shemen ubelo lavona, a mincha that one brings, even though he's anticipating having shemen and lavona with it, nevertheless, the meal offering, the meal part of it, can become sanctified without these additional elements, shikein motzinu b'minchas chote, because that is the nature of a minchas chote, as we've learned in previous discussions. It does not have shemen nor lavona with it. So we see that Rav learns one topic from another, and therefore if Rav held like Rabbi Elazar with regard to the minchas chavitin, he should have established his halacha with regard to other minachas based on the Minchas Chavitin, that there is Kedusha L'chatzoyin, like Rabbi Elazar said. Therefore, we must come to the conclusion, Al Korchach Rav K'Rabbi Yochanan Svirolei. It must be that Rav holds like Rabbi Yochanan with regard to the Chavitin. And what did Rabbi Yochanan hold in with regard to the Chavitin? That it's not Kadosh L'chatzoyin. And therefore, Rav, with regard to standard Menachas, even in a case of Daitin L'hoisif, the partial amount does not become sanctified. Here we have a slash mark indicating that the following discussion is a new idea. In truth, we're quoting from that which we saw before, but we're going to enter now a new train of thought. In order to find where this quote, gufa, is an expression referring to a quote of something that I mentioned earlier, we have a squiggled arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you scan up the page, you'll be able to find a parallel marking. Before getting into the sukya, let us glance at the outside margin. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading. We featured here a Roman numeral 1 and 2, which we will find in the Gemara text itself. The 1 is a little small, maybe hard to see, but it's above Rav. And 2 is by Rabbi Hanina, both of whom both of their names are circled. Rav Rabbi Hanina Chovkin b'mincha shebo im shemen ulevoina. They argue regarding a mincha that comes with shemen ulevona. Ha'im hi kedusha b'li ha'shemen ulevona yachad b'kli ha'shores b'shas kiddush. Can the mincha become sanctified without the shemen and levona together with the grain part at once? Rav holds yes. Rav says sanctification can take place even though the other elements are not there at that moment, the moment of sanctification. Rabbi Hanina is more strict and says they all have to be together in order for the sanctification of the mincha to take place. Rav, in developing his shita, will base himself on the precedence of other minochas, as we saw just now in the Gemara before the slash. Gufa, Omar Rav, Mincha Kedoisha, Beloy Shemen, Shikain Motzinu Belechem Aponim, Beloy Lavona, Shikain Motzinu Beminchas Nesachim, Beloy Shemen Ubeloy Lavona, Shikain Motzinu Beminchas Chote, Shemen Ulavona. These are new offerings that we didn't discuss before, and a shemen offering, someone who dedicates a quantity of shemen to be offered as an offering, or someone dedicates lavona to be offered. These things are kachi ha below high, the high below high. Each one of them can be sanctified by themselves. The precedent for this is shemen, shekein motzinu belug shemen shel metzora. We find there a case of the shemen of the metzora, who brings korbonus at the end of his tzoras period. He brings the lug as a separate entity. And lavona, shekein motzinu belavona bo babazichin. There we see lavona is being as being brought separate in the bozichin in the case of the lechem aponim. We might say, for the sake of accuracy, that the points Dalet and Hay really is the case of that which we were just discussing before. When you're talking about a mincha that needs to have these elements brought, just like we said that the solis can be, the flour part can be sanctified by itself, the oil and the lavona part also can be sanctified by themselves, and there's no need to have the shemen and lavona together. And this we can see in the Rashi, high below high, shemen below solas u below lavona, u lavona below shemen v'solas. The Gemara continues with the next opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Hanina. And as we said, Rabbi Hanina is more restrictive than Rav, and says that all the elements must be there at the time of sanctification. Rabbi Hanina Omar, Lo zu kedosha b'loy zu v'lo zu kedosha b'loy zu. In all minochas that require shemen and lavona, they all must be together. The Gemara now asks a couple of questions based on or focused on or against Rebbe Chanina. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's take a look at the topic heading and structural note in the outside margin. We see diamonds are featured, and they will highlight the expressions Isaron and Lug. Shemos shel kli shoreis, these are names of service vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, Shekitshu b'shemen hamishcha, they were sanctified with the anointing oil. The Rebbe Chanina, the Ein Mincha Habo im Shemen Ulavona Kedoshalim Kain Kulam Biachad Bikli Shares. According to Rebbe Chanina, that says that a Mincha that comes with Shemen Ulavona is not sanctified unless all of the elements are together. Hare Kalim Elu, the Isaron and the Lug, Einom Machzikin Kulam Biachad. These vessels do not hold all of these materials together. Imkein Loma Nimshechu. So then why was there ever any need for anointing and sanctifying these vessels, the Isaron vessel and the Lug vessel? Now, in the Gemara. Ulu Rabbi Chanina, and according to Rabbi Chanina, who said that the different elements of a mincha must all be together at the time of sanctification, Isaron Loma Nimshach, the Isaron vessel, why was it sanctified? It is an example of a vessel that could not hold all of the elements, so then it wouldn't function as a sanctifier. The Gemara answers, it does. La Minchas Chote. It's useful with regard to the Minchas Chote, where there are no other elements other than the grain part of the offering. There is no, in the case of Minchas Chote, the sinner's Mincha offering, there is no Shemen nor Lavona. The Gemara asks, Velug Loma Nimshach, why was the Lug vessel sanctified? Answer, Lelug Shemen Shel Metzora. It was sanctified for the purpose of the Lug Shemen. Lug is a quantity of oil that was brought for the Metzora, for his purification process. In that case, you had Shemen standing on its own. The Av Shmuel Savar Lo Laha Derav. Shmuel also subscribes to Rav's approach with regard to the Kli Shores being Mekadesh the Soles even without the Shemen and the Lavona. Disnan, we have the following source. Kli Halach, Mekadshines Halach, vessels that are designed for liquids, sanctify liquids. Umidos hayovesh, mekachines hayovesh, and vessels designed, measures designed for dry elements, sanctify the dry elements. V'ein kli halach mekachines hayovesh, v'lo midos hayovesh mekachines halach. And one type of vessel does not sanctify the other type of material. The Omar Shmuel, lo ishanu elamidos. This idea that vessels are restricted to what they are designed for, that's only with regard to vessels that are measuring vessels, vessels of measure. Avol mizrokais, this is the name of a vessel that was essentially designed for lach, for liquid. Mizrokos were used for receiving blood. Blood is not something that's quantity related, but it's nevertheless used for the receiving of the blood from an animal at the point that it's slaughtered. So these vessels called mizrokos, which we've pointed out are called clay lach, mekachos esayovish, they are capable of sanctifying that which is dry. Shinemar, shnehem, maleim, soiles, blulo, b'shemen, lemincha. In this pasuk, we've noted that Shneim is a reference to a Mizrok and a Ka'ora, two different kinds of vessels. We've dashed underlined the word Mizrok, and we've also dashed underlined the word Soiles. What do we see from this? We see a liquid vessel sanctifying the Soiles, even though it comes with oil. This idea is that which Rav said, that a vessel, a service vessel, can sanctify one element, even though all of the elements are not there. In this case, we see the Mizrak sanctifying the Seles, even though there is also oil that comes along with it. Omar Le Rav Acho Midifti the Ravina. From Rav Acho says, you can't bring a raya from here that the Mizrakin are Mekadesh, sanctify Yavesh. At this point, it may be said that we're getting a little bit this idea is a little bit removed from the initial purpose that we brought in this discussion, because up till this point we were focusing on Shmuel. Shmuel had just said that he will hold like Rav. So Shmuel seemed to make his point that the Mizrach is sanctifying the Soles even without the other elements. However, there was another point that was made, and that was that which Shmuel said, that the Mizrach being a Kli Lach is Mekadesh Yavesh. That is the Nekuda, that's the point that Rav Acha is focusing on right now. So that there are, well, just to review this point, it's a very fine point, there are two ideas that are converging at once here, and that is Shmuel holding like Rav, the issue of no necessity of having all elements present at once. And a second point, that's the point that Shmuel makes, that a Mizrach, which is a Kli Lach, is Mekadesh Yovesh. And he attempts to prove that from this Pasuk of Shneim Leim Serles Blulu B'Shem Lemincha. So on that second point, Rav Acha comments, Amalei Rav Acha Midifli Ravina, Mincha Lechohi. The Mincha itself is mixed with oil. So the idea of a Mizrach, which is a Kli Lach, sanctifying the Mincha, that doesn't prove that a Kli Lach could sanctify that which is dry. The Mincha is mixed with oil, hence it's not dry. Amale, so Ravina responds and says, it's true that the Mincha may be mixed with oil, but that doesn't make the Mincha Lach. Within the Mincha, there are sections of it that did not come into contact with the oil. Lo nitzricha elo liyovesh sheba. We have a little one because there's going to be another explanation later, but at this point we're saying that the Mizrach sanctifies even the dry parts of the Mincha. The Ibo Yesema, Mincha legabi dam ki yovesh damya. Even if you say that the Mincha is completely in contact with the oil, that nevertheless does not make the Mincha classified as lach, as a liquidy substance, because the Mincha, relative to the dam, the blood which the Mizrach is designed for, the Mincha really is dry. And therefore, the point that Shmuel was making, that the Mizrach could Mekadesh Yavesh, as we see that the Mincha was placed in those Mizrachas, still stands. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Now we're quoting from that which we saw before. Mincha shekomtza behechal kshera. A mincha whose handful is removed while in the hechal is kosher, is acceptable. Shekei motzinu besiluk bozichin. As we have seen, a kmitza removal taking place L'chadchila in the Hechal, that's in the form of the removal of the bozichin from the Shulchan. And as we mentioned already a number of times, the bozichin are to the Lechem Aponim like a kmitza is to a standard mincha. Mosiv Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks on this, the komatz misham, that's what you see in the Pasuk. What we learn from that is Mimokoim Shiragle Hazor Ondos. Kemitza takes place from the place in the Azora, the 11 Amos at the entrance to the Azora, which is called Ezras Yisrael. We see from here that this is that the Mincha, that Kemitza requires Azora. That's the question. You notice that this source goes on, and there's a brackets here. The brackets here are explained by no less than Rashi himself. He points out that the continuation of this Tanaic source is not relevant to our sugya. It is brought in simply for the sake of completion of the source, for quoting a source in its entirety. So, if we skip the brackets for a moment, we just saw Rabbi Yirmiyah claiming that Kemitza requires Azora. And that doesn't seem to jive with Rabbi Elazar, who said that Hechal is a suitable place for Kemitza as well. So after the brackets, you see, here we have two versions of who answers the question. But the question at the meantime was raised by Rabbi Yirmiyahu. So Iko the Amri, some say who Moisiv Lavu Mefarik Lo, some say that Rabbi Yirmiyahu raised the question and Rabbi Yirmiyahu himself answers the question. Iko the Amri, others say Amar Le'er of Yankov, the Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Tachlifa Asbar Aloch. Others have the discussion taking place where Rabbi Yankov says to Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Tachlifa, I will explain it to you. And the Gemara will then go on with the answer. Before we do that, let's just read the bracketed section so as not to leave some unfinished business. Though that which is now in the brackets is not relevant to our sukya. Ben Besera Oimer, Minayin Shim Komatz Besmol Shiasir V'yikmoitz B'yamin. From where do we know that if someone took the handful of a meal offering with his left hand, he puts it back into the bowl and retakes it with his right hand? Tamalomar V'komatz Misham. Mimokom shekomatz kvar, from there, from the place that he had originally removed the kamitza. He, in other words, he does it again. But in the meantime, we have a problem. Rabbi Lozer says that kamitza behechal is okay. Rabbi Yirmiyah raises a question from a source that quotes a pasuk, vekomatz misham, which indicates that kamitza must take place in the azorah. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have some markings that we want to explain. In the outside margin, let us go over the Nosei and the Mivneh that we have written in. So the Nosei, which we've already learned, is Dino Shirabalozer, the law of Rabalozer, the Mincha Shikomsa Behechal Ksheira, that a Mincha whose handful is removed in the Hechal, in the inner sanctuary, is okay, even though it's not in the courtyard of the Azara. Bahem Shech, in the continuation of the Gemara Birmiya Makshe, Al Rabbi Lozer Mi Braisa, Demevi, a Braisa Shemevi, HaPosuk, the Braisa quotes a Posuk that says, V'komatz Misham, Shelecha'ora Melame Deboy Azara. From that quote, it seems that there is an Azorah requirement. The note on a outside margin continues, Mivneh. We have a Roman numeral 1 and 2 that accompanies a trapezoid or volcano shape marking. These represent Shnei Shlovim, two stages, Batshuva, Lekucha Shenishalo al Rebbe Lozer. Two stages in order to answer the question that was raised against Rebbe Lozer that we just featured. We will also see triangles, and the triangles represent Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. So with the point facing up, hochacha, a proof to boi v'komatz misham, that will need the pasuk, l'lame d'kol azorah k'shera, that the pasuk is not here to teach me the azorah to the exclusion of the hechal, but rather, the pasuk is here to teach me that the entire azorah is suitable for kamitza. The acheres, without it, hoyisi loymeid me'oyla, I would have learned from an oyla, the ein lahachshir kol ha'azorah, that the entire Azara is not suitable. Then we will see a triangle inverted with the point facing down. The point here is to tell me, lo boi haposuk, that I don't really need the posuk. Me'achar deloi hoya havamina lilmoi me'ola, that there was no havamina really to learn from Ola in the first place. So let's see how this operates. We must review once again. Rabbi Lozer said that a mincha shekomsa behechal is kosher. Rabbi Yirmiyah brings a source in which you see the pasuk the komatz misham that seems to indicate that only azora is suitable. And now we approach the Gemara where we see our Roman numeral 1 with the trapezoid, and the Gemara says loy nitzricha elo lahachshir es kol hazora kula. I need the posuk of a komatz misham not to exclude the hechal, but rather to tell me that the entire azorah is suitable for kamitza. Shalot tomar, that you shouldn't say the following, Since we know that an Ola is high-level sanctity and a Mincha is high-level sanctity, Ma Ola Teuna Tzofoin, just like the Ola requires its slaughtering to take place in the northern part of the Azorah, Af Mincha Teuna Tzofon, so too the Mincha Kemitza must require the Tzofon. Therefore, as we said, you need the Pasuk of the Komatz Misham to tell me, not so. So the role of the Pasuk is to dispel a havamina, a thought to learn from Oila. The Gemara says, and now the shape flips over to tell me, I don't need the Pasuk for that. Ma la Oila, I never would have learned from Ola in the first place. The Ola might require Tzafon, but that's Shekain Kolil. It's a type of sacrifice that's completely burnt in the fire. Therefore, it is restricted to the Tzafon. Not the case by a Mincha. To this, the Gemara says, but 1 second, Mechatos, I would have learned Mincha from Chatos, that there is a Tzafon restriction. Therefore, I do need the Pasuk to dispel that. The Gemara to this responds, no, I would not have learned from Chatos in the first place. Ma lechatos, shekein mechaperes al chai ve'krisus. It may be that by the Chatos you require Tzafon because it has this special feature that it atones for people that were chayev kores, which is not the case by a Mincha. So at this point then, I don't need a pasuk to dispel a havamina that I never would have had. The Gemara says to that, may osham, but I might have learned from the osham. The osham is a sacrifice that doesn't atone for chayvei krisus, and yet it requires tzafon. So I would have thought that the mincha also requires tzafon, therefore I do need the pasuk to dispel that possibility. And that, namely, that the mincha is able to be done in all of the Azara. To this, the Gemara says, I wouldn't have learned from Osham. Ma lo Osham shekein minei domim. The Osham may require Tzafon, but that's because it's something that's blood-related. It's an animal. It's slaughtered. That's not the case by the Mincha. And secondly, Mikulu Nami, with regard to the Chatas and Ola as well, I would not have learned from them in the first place. They required Tzafon shekein minei domim. But as far as Mincha, I wouldn't have thought that it requires Tzafon. Therefore, what do I need a Pasuk to expand the area of a Mincha when I wouldn't have thought restriction in the first place? So what do I need the Pasuk for? Ela Yitzterich, stage 2. I need the Pasuk of the Komatz Misham to machshir the entire Azara. Sagad edach amina hoyol uksi v'hikriva el hakoyen v'higisha el hamizbeach v'komatz. Since the Pasuk says that he brings the Mincha to the Kohen, it's then brought to the corner, Higishal Mizbeach, it's brought to the corner of the Mizbeach, where the Mincha is brought to the corner of the altar, and then Kemitza is done. The reason in our markings that we have the word V'komatz in brackets is because in the Pasuk itself, the word V'komatz doesn't appear, but rather in Pasuk Tes of Perek Beis of Vayikra, it says, V'heirim ha-kohen min ha-mincha es azkarosa. That's a reference to the taking of the kemitza. So here the Gemara is quoting in an abbreviated fashion, using the word v'komatz for the tape, for that which the pasuk says. But from this I see, or I might have thought, ma hagosha b'keren jermis ma'arovis, just like hagosha is accomplished by bringing the mincha to the southwestern corner of the mizbeach, af kemitza nami b'keren jermis mizrach, so too kemitza must be done over there. Komash malon, that's what I need the pasuk of v'komatz misham to tell me, that Kemitza can be done in any part of the Azara. And once again, but not to the exclusion of the Heichal. The Heichal certainly can be a place for the Kemitza being taken, as Rabbi Elazar said, because we find precedent for that in the case of the Siluk Bozichin. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a slash mark. This indicates that which follows is a new train of thought. Let's look at the outside margin under our no say heading. Dinoi shel Rabbi Yochanan. The din of Rabbi Yochanan, shlomim sheshachtan beheichal, kshirim. Shlomim that are slaughtered in the sanctuary, in the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash, are okay. Omochiach es dino miposuk shemalame deshita shlomim bazora. Rabbi Yochanan proves his point from the fact that there is a pasuk indicating that shechita shlomim can take place in the Azara. We don't want the subsidiary to be any more strict, we'll say, than the chomor, the hechal, the ikr. So that if we're saying that Shechita Shlomim can take place in the Azorah, then it certainly can take place in the Heichal. Turning to the Gemara, Gufa, Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, Shlomim Sheshachtan Beheichal Ksherim, Shinemar, Veshachatu, Pesach, Oyel Moi. The Pasuk says that the Shlomim are sacrificed in the Azorah. And we would not allow a situation where the Tofel, where the Azorah, is any more Chomor than the Iker, namely, where the Azorah is a place that one could do the slaughtering of, is suitable for the slaughtering of Shlomim, and to suggest that the Hecha would not be suitable. Meisvei. The Gemara now raises a question. The question itself is a long question, and you can see we have a kuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara with a vertical dashed line that continues to three lines from the top of Tes Omed Aleph in order to complete the question. The question essentially is focused on the principle of, is it really so that we say, Lo Yehe Tofel Chomor Min Ha'Iker? We will raise a question from a scenario where Kohanim are unable to eat their korbonos in the Azorah. For example, Kodshei Kodshim and Menachos must be eaten in the Azorah. But if there's a situation where the enemy is surrounding the Beis HaMikdash, and it's dangerous to remain in the Azorah, which is an open area, because of fear of being injured or killed from shot arrows or spears, there is a pasuk that indicates they're allowed to eat their korbonos in the inner sanctum, in the enclosed area, in the Heichal. So a pasuk is brought to enable the Kohanim to eat in the Heichal. The question that's being raised here is, if there is a principle of Lo Yehi Tofel Chomer Min HaIker, which we used for the case of Shechita Shlomim in the Heichal, why not apply that same principle to the issue of eating? Namely, if eating can take place in the Azorah, then it certainly should be able to take place in the Heichal. From the fact that a pasuk is brought in to teach that point, seems to indicate that the concept or the principle of Shlo Yehi Tofel Chomer Min HaIker doesn't apply. Now let's see this inside. Meisvei. From where do we know that if the Gentiles surrounded the Beis HaMikdash for war, that the Kohanim have a right to enter the Heichal and eat their sacrificial portions, the Kodshei Kodshim and the Shirayim of Menachos? From where do I know this? Talmud Loimar, B'Kodesh HaKodoshim Tochlenu. So from this, we see a special allowance for Heichal eating. Well, V'Hal Amalikra, what do I need to bring a pasuk in for this? Lema, why not say B'Chatzar Oel Moed, which is a reference to the Azara, Yochlua, that they are able to eat in that area, the lo yehi tofel chomer min ha'iker, and then apply the principle. Once I know that they can eat it in the Azorah, then the subsidiary is not going to be any more restrictive or more chomer, more serious than the Iker being the Heichal. And if I see that they can eat in the Azorah, they certainly should be able to eat in the Heichal. The Gemara answers that we need both. In other words, the principle of lo yehi tofel chomer min ha'iker is intact. That's useful with regard to avoda, for sacrificial activity. However, as far as eating is concerned, I wouldn't apply that principle, and therefore I will need a pasuk to tell me that the eating can take place in the Heichal. The Gemara. Avoda de adam oyvei b'mokam raboi. Avoda, sacrificial activities that a person does in the presence of his master. In this case, we're looking at the inner sanctum of the Heichal, the sanctuary area of the Beis HaMikdash, the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash, as being a place of greater divine presence. So when it comes to service done to the Almighty, a person does service wherever he may be, even in the holy area of the Heichal. So with regard to such a topic of doing service in the area of the Almighty, Amrinon, we apply the principle of Shaloye Tofel Chomu Mene Iker, that we don't want a situation where the Azorah has greater attributes than the Heichal. And that we said with regard to the slaughtering of Shlomim, which is an avoda in the sense of a service activity, so that if it can take place in the Azorah, it certainly should be able to take place in the Heichal. However, achila, eating, she'ein adam oichel b'mokom rabo, as far as etiquette is concerned, a slave would not eat at the same table as his master. So a person doesn't eat. When it comes to eating, it's a type of activity that one does not do in the presence of one who is greater. Therefore, if I know that there's an allowance for eating in the Azorah, I would not necessarily conclude from that there can be eating in the Heichal. Therefore, how do I know that eating in the Heichal is an option? Taimo de Kosav Kro, because we have the Pasuk of Kodesh Kodoshim. Ha lo Kosav Kro. If I didn't have a posuk, this principle of lo yei tofel chomu mene iker, I would not say. Therefore, I need the posuk when it comes to eating to allow the heichal to serve as a place, a location for the eating of korbanos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.